So today I want to talk about a little bit about where we're at. How did we get here? Why did we get here? We're here, aren't we? Whether you like it or not, we're here. We can, you know, duck and cover and hide and crawl under a rock and say, oh, I'm just going to do that and wait until the Lord comes back. But I tell you, what if he doesn't come back for another umpteen generations? You're going to enjoy living under a rock for the next, living out your life that way? I'm not. I'm going to rise up. No, I'm not going to protest. I'm going to rise up in prayer. I'm going to rise up in what God has asked us to do. I'm going to rise up because he's placed us in America. I remember even this morning, Janice was sharing like how she realized that, you know, any one of us could have been born as we came into this time, that we could have been born in a third world country. We could have been born over in Europe or back in the times of World War I, II, those oppressions, those things. And we've got a lady here that has gone through those types of camps and being moved, and praise God, I love talking to her when she talks about that, you know. Not that it was a good time in her life, but it makes me realize I was blessed to be born in America. But we have been born for, guess what? Such a time as this. We're not here by accident. I don't think God just like, oh, just took some things, just, I don't know who this is, I'm just going to throw them there, see where they land. No, here for a purpose. But now, getting back before we got the founding of this nation, I got this off of a website of the Wall Builders, and it talked about 5 weeks into the Constitutional Convention of back in 1787, when they were attempting to draft the U.S. Constitution, their efforts were a single failure. Can you, even back then, try? Could you imagine, though, drafting a document, trying to get the meetings of the minds? This is Ben Franklin, what he's going to write here. There was a failure. As things were beginning to break up and delegates were going to return home to their states, Franklin challenged them and he called them to prayer. And this is what he had told them. In this situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth and scarce able to distinguish it when presented to us. How has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understanding? In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for the divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of superintending providence in our favor, and have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business. Wow. So 5 weeks into it, it looked like they were trying to get this all, you know, ironed out. And then what happened after 5 weeks of failure following the recess and the time of prayer, they reconvened, and in only 10 weeks they produced the document that has become the longest ongoing constitution in the history of the world. Franklin definitely saw a difference after the recess and prayer. While he was not willingly to say that the finished constitution was inspired in the same sense as that of the Bible, he nevertheless believed that it was the product of God's direct intervention. But when we read things of God, do we read that God is a God that always changes, is never the same? Or do we read his word where it says, I am a God that never changes? His word tells us he's a God that never changes. So that's why in our day, in our society, and where we're at today, we can stand firm, we can stand in confidence, we can stand in assurance that even as we prayed earlier, that these prayers, I believe, went up to the throne room of God. Because we're going to find throughout this morning, and you all, where I'm going, have been there, and we've read this and over and over and over, but let's look at it again and just review a few things. So as we begin to look at these scriptures, I just really wonder, as a church, as a people of this nation, how blessed we are. Have we really taken it to heart? Or have we looked at it and, oh, that's a good saying, that's a good verse, I know that verse, oh, you know, people humbly pray, you know, I will hear their prayers and heal their land. Oh, yeah. But if we really believe that, there will be change and God will be in it. I'm going to go to 1 Timothy, if you'd like to go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And it says this, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. When I read that, and I've been aware of it, as I'm probably aware that you've been aware of those things, I can look around and I can say, you know what, I don't think my life is, I don't think I'm living in a quiet time. I don't think I'm living in an area here where it says that we may lead a quiet, peaceable life. You know, I myself at times, after seeing some of the things that have taken place in the last month or so, even it's, I've not been a part of it, close to it, but it's been close to home. And it did come into our community a week or so after it happened in Madison, and it's been rearing its head here and there. But I'm thankful to say that even in our local area, Rock County, from the Beloit and the Janesville area, that yes, there have been protests and there were some things that could have gone sideways, but I do believe that there was a lot of prayer going up for calmness and peace and tranquility to be in this area. And I believe we saw signs of that. There's evidence of that. But we don't want to let our guard down and say, okay, it's over. Because the enemy, just like when the day of Jesus in the wilderness, departed him to come back for a more opportune time. We as the believers, we as Christians, we as in his kingdom here upon this earth, we need to always be proactive. We always need to be ready. We need to be aware of the situations taking place in our nation, in our state, in our community, in our county, whatever it might be. Now we've got to be the ones that quickly go to prayer. Before before anything else is done, we need to be in what? Prayer. Because prayer will change anything and everything. To the point we've got to stand, and then when it tells us in his word, when you have nothing else to do, but nothing else is happening, but stand. Don't give up. Don't give up. Now, I don't know how God will answer all these particular prayers and things. In a way, I've got a way that I would like for them to be answered, don't you? But I've got to step back from that and say, Lord, your will, this nation's been founded upon you. This is not good. I want this, but I know I've got to not ask what I want for the most part. I've got to say, Lord, I want your will in this place, and you're going to find me praying and interceding for this situation. So we look at that word, supplication. Supplication comes from a Latin verb, which would be of this, the supplicare. Supplicare, which means to plead humbly. While a supplication is often thought of as a religious prayer, and it's used about 60 times in the Bible, it can logically be applied to any situation in which you must entreat someone in power to help or a favor. So, I supplicate. We supplicate for our government. We supplicate for our president and our vice president and our governor and our judicial branch and our Supreme Court, the state and federal. We supplicate for those things because what? Entreating someone in power for help or favor. We supplicate God, what God is calling for in this nation. How do we know that to get it accomplished, it goes by rules and laws and regulations and legislation. That's how we're run as a nation. So we supplicate and we pray for those in leadership, those that can make those calls, those that can make those verdicts stand to honor God, to make this nation a godly nation, to make our state the same. We pray for those in power and leadership. Because even though we, guess what, we just got our voting thing for, you know, absentee ballots, and I finally opened it up. We've had it like a week and a half or two. I thought it was for November. I thought, boy, this is early. How about it's for the primaries in August and what's being done? But anyway, you know, we've got those things coming. And even though I vote and it goes either way, I can say this, some of the people I voted for haven't always got into office. But I got to go, oh, well, God, you know better. And even though we are allowed to vote and do those things, his word tells us that he actually places these people into power. We have a way of doing that and voting, and it's not to say, I don't want you to say, well, if that's the case, why vote? We have to hear from God, and we got to look at God's values, and we got to look at that, not that person, but we got to look at that overall part of that party or that group or whatever to say, how close are they to the things of God? And there's only two or three litany tests that you've got to do, right? And pretty well, that needle either goes this or that. You know? I always get a kick. Even a lot of Christians and even sometimes pastors I get with, it's like they're trying to figure all this stuff out. And I go, it's pretty simple when I vote. I don't really need a whole lot. I just need to believe what they're saying and it's in print and I can only go by that. If they're lying, God knows my heart that I'm saying, God, I'm voting because they honor life. Now, if they just said that because it's a political thing to do, I will let them take that up with God. But I just have to listen to a couple of things that they're about and for. Like I said earlier, I don't care what they're going to do for my taxes. My God's my provider. I always, when I go into the real estate taxes in Janesville, they always have cranky people in there like, ah, 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 ah. I go up there and I say, take this check. I can't wait to get rid of it. The poor lady at the counter is going like, wah, wah. It's like, yeah, they're just doing their job. They're not saying I got to pay tax to them. But it's like, you know what? My God is my provider. They raise my taxes to $10,000. I guess I'll find some gold in a fish's mouth or something. I don't know. As long as I'm serving God, honoring God, obeying God, praising God, worshiping God, God is number one in my life. Let man do whatever they want to do. My kingdom is not of this place. I'm only passing through the same as you if you're a Christian and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Health care, how am I going to be taken care of? I'm going to pray for health. What happens if you get sick and you got to go? I don't know. We'll figure it out. You know, man will take care of it. Help me. Insurance will take care of it. If not that, there'll be something. And I know it's very frightful, and it's not an easy thing, and it's not just something to go ha, ha, ha about. But we have to get to the finality of what is God about. And he heals through man. Medicine and all his knowledge, I believe, goes into the studies, and that we get a vaccination, or they know how to do this, or they know how to make a better MRI, or they know all of these things. We have been blessed mightily with a lot of knowledge that has helped medically and so many things in our nation. But I give God the glory for that. Thank you, God, for working through man. Because without you, God, they would just be merely man. Whatever knowledge they would have would just be something that maybe just happened a little bit here, a little bit there. But we have seen such a phenomenal development in so many things. But I think it's just God expanding knowledge of man, working these things out. So I go to the doctor and he takes care of me and does this or that, but I say, praise God, thank you, Lord, for that. If we can only focus on just the few things that God focuses on, we won't be so confused at what we need to do. The world is something that wants to get you focused on a myriad of things, so by the time you focus on this and I understand it, it's the same thing now over here and you think you understand it, and then your mind's going, tilt, that doesn't make sense, and then this is added in and that's added in. Pretty soon we are a confused people because we're listening to man and what they're saying and what they think and their lies, their deceptions, whatever the case might be. That's why we need to be a people of God to where I walk by that of, do you walk by the Holy Spirit? When you hear these things out there in the media, do you listen by that like the ear of the Holy Spirit? Because I've listened to two or three different, this has been some time back, but I'll listen to two or three different news things about this, sometimes from the same person from different hours, and it's different, or it's something that I already know because I've heard it, and you hear somebody reporting it on another different station, and it's like, it wasn't like that at all. They didn't say this about that. Selective forgetfulness? Or is it just being man? Is it a reason to deceive? Or is it just the way man is? You can look at it and 6 to 1, half a dozen to the other. But I tell you today, we need to be walking with the knowledge, the understanding, the wisdom of God through that of the Holy Spirit so that we can tell what a lie is, what a deception is, and we just shake our head. Many of us shake our heads thinking like, what is wrong with the population of America when they see this craziness going on and they just don't think nothing of it? Or do they get to that point where they don't care? Have we gotten to that point in some of our churches that we really don't care because we're just waiting for the sweet by and by when I go home to my Savior? When we've been instructed to stay here and to pray here and to intercede here, and then we get into supplication and we get into prayers where prayer is involving means of interacting with God through a spontaneous, individual, or unorganized form of a petitioning, thanking Him or asking Him. Praying is a method of changing a situation for the better. That makes sense. Has anybody ever prayed for a situation just to get worse? If you have, please come forward and let's have a discussion. I like to really pick your brain, you know? It's like, Lord, I'm just being blessed too much. Take away my money, you know? No. Now, Lord, I was just using that as an example, okay? Pray. We don't pray, Lord, inflict, you know, illness on my body. And then we shouldn't even pray. We need to, oh my, His Word even tells us to pray for our enemies. You want to really get on God's good side, you just find somebody that just irritates you to no end, and you just begin to pray for them. You don't want to at first. Your human side's thinking, Tim, that is just ridiculous. That person is way out in left field. They're this, they're that, they're totally opposite. My physical, my mental, my natural mind is going, yeah, Tim, that's right. Don't do that. But then my spiritual side picks up and says, oh, but God's Word says, pray for your enemies. Pray for those doing evil things. Pray for those. Pray. Let God sort it out. You know? Let those hot coals land on their head, but I'm just going to turn it all over to God anyway, and He's going to do with what He wants. But I want to be found being honoring God. I want to be found doing what God has asked. I want to be found doing what God has instructed me to do. I'm going to pray for those people that despise me, that despise God. That's why I prayed for the freedom from religion. I always like to pray for those groups. I love that because that's where the phenomenal things of God takes place. And because I've not seen it in the last couple of years or 5 years or however long we've been praying those times or what senses in my spirit when I begin to pray that, doesn't mean I'm going to stop. And I know God's heard my prayer, but I'm just going to remind Him or I'm going to start thanking Him. Thank you, Lord, for changing the hearts of freedom from religion. Change them from the heart facing that of evil to the heart of You, Lord, facing good. And if they're in the way, take them out of the way. Whatever you want to do, Lord, I don't know. But He gives the people what they want. He gives the people what they deserve. We, us, a nation. We see that all through Scripture. They didn't really need to have kings when they were coming out of Egypt, but they wanted someone to rule over them. God said, okay. You probably want to follow me, but I'll give you leaders, I'll give you kings. And we found out where those go. So now we're in this situation. Intercession, to intervene between parties with a view to reconciling differences. Do we have differences in our nation today? Do we have differences in our government today? Do we have differences in our families today? Yes. Yes and yes, yes, yes. We intercede for the family. We intercede for the church. We intercede for this nation. We supplicate for this leadership. We do all these things because in 1 Timothy, I therefore exhort you. I exhort you. I encourage you is what exhortation. I encourage, first of all, that you with supplication, prayers, and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men. But I don't like all men. I don't care. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes we got to have the ugliness to see how beautiful the beautiful is. Now, it didn't start that way in the garden. We didn't need sin to come in to really show us how beautiful it is. But sin came in, and sin is here, and guess what? We're dealing with it now until his return. Give thanks. Express gratitude or show appreciation to thank, acknowledge, recognize, express obligation. Thanks, just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm not thanking him for the evil in our nation. I'm thanking him for the prayers that have been answered. Now, I can look at it to the other side. It's been kind of crazy out there, but there's been a lot of things being prayed about, I know. There's a lot of churches, us, you, individuals, Tuesday night prayers, things like nature we're doing. Could you just imagine how bad it could have been or could be if there wasn't prayer going up for this nation? I mean, we're seeing some bad stuff. But I also, on that other hand, think that, you know, it could have been a whole lot worse, or it could be a whole lot worse if we don't stand, and when all else fails, stand, keep praying, keep interceding, keep intercession, keep thanking God, 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 God. And it all comes to this. Why do we want to do this or should do this? Verse 2 tells us so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. Amen. Amen. So a thought here says this, that we must pray for those who are in authority over us if we wish to reap the benefits of a good government, which is a prized gift from God for the church's welfare and the advancement of the gospel. Now we have seen where evidently, somewhere along the line, our churches have not been stepping up to do this. Because we've seen a lot of things being taken away from the church. We've seen a lot of things of God, God we trust, and God bless America being taken off of statues and federal buildings and public entities and offices, whatever, schools, prayer out of schools, prayer. You can't even pray at council meetings. Some of them they do still, but not very few. But we've seen a lot of these things, what, just being taken away, taken away, taken away. So as I read this here, where it talks about that, we need to pray so that we can reap the benefits of a good government, which is a prized gift from God for the church's welfare and the advancement of the gospel. We're finding so much oppression and things against the churches now. They're wanting to remove the good news. As I came across this and I just thought about this, and this all just hit me yesterday because of the holiday and the 4th. But because of thinking about this nation and where it's been, where it's come from, how it developed, it just started stirring yesterday. It's like, why? What have, and I really feel the church has not done its share of what it should have been doing. It's plain and simple. We as his people have not been doing what we have been told to do. And he says, you deserve what I give you. God would like us all to live in peace, joy, happiness, a peaceful life. But we've kind of like shucked our duties of what we should be doing for this nation, what we even should have been doing for our churches. Now, the good thing is, it's never too late to come back to God. And we can always pick up and start. And I think for the last few years, and we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. I think we've been really doing some intercession and interceding, lifting these needs up. But I'm looking at the track record of the last 50 years, 60 years. It just seems to me like it's actually gone down from the 60s problems we had into the 70s. And then we might have hit some years where it seemed like, hey, everything's kind of going pretty good. But I tell you, it's just like boom, 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 one thing after another. So I want to go to Romans 13:1. Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from who? God. And the authorities that exist are what? Appointed by who? God. They weren't appointed by Tim's vote. They weren't appointed because of your vote. They were appointed by God, but my vote may have got them in there because my God worked through us to get them in there. Like I've said in the past, with all this crazy rioting and things happening, God works through people to get his things taken accomplished. The devil works through people to get his things accomplished. We've seen a lot of the devil moving just overwhelming in this nation the last couple of months. But the devil is using those people. We got to pray for them. Change of heart. So as I do and feel and sense and follow God and what I want to vote for, he's got to put me to where I vote, that person gets in, but I voted for good people. I voted for people that followed God, but I didn't see them get in. Somebody else got in, and I just had to go, okay, what happens now? We can probably go through statistics and find out how many actual church, Christian, and just not religious people, but followers of Christ, Christian people that are truly that of Christian followers of Jesus Christ and what God has said is what he says, that they obey that. Because we know the distortion of what God says into some of our churches out there that have turned away from what God says is sin, and they're allowing different things into their pulpits. They're allowing different things into their organizations. And when you look at what they're allowing in, and you look at it and compare it to what God says is this or that or sin or bad, I'm looking at saying, this church just did this. God's word says, that's sin. Wow. Well, I've heard big religious organizations and these big people now that these are these baby boomers that are up here. I've heard this that I about fell out of my chair. This is about 5 or 6, 8 years ago now. But in one of their articles, when they were having this big conflict of a convention, comes out of their convention where they go, we believe, now these are men speaking, we believe we know more of what God was saying back there than Jesus. Okay, God was in the flesh. Jesus said, I don't say or do anything except what my Father in heaven says. We got men here in these big religious, these are major denominational things in our country. We've got people in these hierarchy areas that are making these decisions for their whole church fellowship to say, we know more of what God meant in that than what Jesus spoke about in that New Testament. Is that deception? Can man be deceived that far down? Yes. 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 Because the foundation of the church has bent. The foundation of the church that we have built on that of Jesus Christ, on that cornerstone, it's been eroded. It's been shored up with man's thoughts of what they want to interject. And when they have done that, they have taken away from what God says is, and they've gone to what man says is. And that is very dangerous ground. But I think we're seeing the ramifications of that in our nation. This nation was founded upon the things. Ben Franklin, we need to pray, trying to get to consensus to get this Constitution. We've got to come with a unity of minds. We've got to come and get this thing taken care of. So they had problems back then. Nothing new under the sun. But they prayed. Thank God that he was able to pen that letter to those delegates to say, before you go back to your states, we need to come together and pray. In that letter he sent to them, he says, do we already forget what prayer did in the battle with Great Britain, that how we won against that because it was that of prayer that brought that victory to America? How soon we forget, he says. I could say that today, in today's time. How soon we forget what God did 10 years ago, 3 years ago, 6 months ago, last week maybe. How soon we forget. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now, as Paul is writing this, he's not suggesting that God approves of a corrupt government. He does not approve of ungodly officials or unjust legislation. Sometimes, however, in punishment for the sins of a people or for other reasons only known to God, God will allow evil rulers to have authority for a time. As Old Testament prophets frequently testified, ideally God grants authority to serve good ends. How that authority is exercised will be the accounting of each one to whom it has been given. See, those in our government, those that are doing these things, just as I stand before God, they stand before God. A rightfully just, fair God. So if we've got men and women that have come through the last decades, six decades, whatever the case is, then they've corrupted these things. And even though they were put into office, God did not condone what they were going to do, but he says, you people deserve this because you've forgot to do what you're supposed to be doing. Now we've got all this taking place in our nation, and we don't have unity in our government. We don't have unity of any political field. We don't have nothing. Seems like the only thing that's unified is that of evil. But now, here's the funny thing. Look at the evil that's taking place in our nation, and they're not even all on the same page. We got a lot of different fractured groups out there that are using this for a reason to get their agenda accomplished. And this person in this group that started it, they don't even have anything to do with that, but now it's been overtaken by this group, and this group's doing... I got a kick out of it yesterday. My daughter was looking up on Facebook, and I guess this officer, he had taken his patches and all that where he was at, but I guess he had a TikTok thing or something. And he was kind of saying, well, it's really interesting that this group that wants to defund the police, they have asked for police protection for their rally. Hello. We don't want the police, but could you come to our rally and protect us? We want to have an autonomous area. Love, free, everything's happy. Murder, another murder. Rapes, robbery. Where's the police? They're not going in there. You want your little love zone. Yeah. And then they complain when the police don't go in to help them. We called 911 and the police didn't even come in. Well, you put a barrier up and you said you're no longer part of this nation. You wanted your own little love fest there. Deal with it. Well, thank God the mayor of that city came to common sense and said, okay, after what, 2 or 3 weeks of that, the whole thing came out of saying, oh, it's going to be a peaceful area. Just let them have it. It's okay. Peace. Love. Didn't turn out that way. It's not that way. Not when evil is in it. Evil was in that from the very beginning. It starts out that way, but evil overrides, and there's always somebody in that group that says, we don't want to be controlled by nobody. They end up being the ones that control the people in that area. There's always going to be somebody controlling somebody. Wars start because of either land, wanting more land, or generally land, or religion. There's a lot of things that happen with why wars come and go. I want that land, we're going to take it. War. That religion, we're going to eradicate it. War. So we got these people, they want all these little zones out there, and they want to break away, and then they find they need help, and then they want to call the police. It just doesn't make sense. So little by little by little, they're tearing these places down. Thank God. Thank God. And other places in our country are making these videos saying, we are going to stand strong. You can come to our community and protest peacefully. Once that peacefully goes into breaking, looting, and lawlessness, this one guy, this one sheriff says, we will give you the 5 minutes of attention that you want. I think I'm paraphrasing. But it ain't going to turn out the way you think. And he had all of his deputies lined up behind him, and this same guy says, and if I don't have enough behind us, I will duly deputize every gun-toting person in this county. And we will all stand against you. Well, hallelujah. Common sense prevails. All that's taking place out there is these people that never got corrected when they were growing up. And I don't know where you stand on that, but we never spared the rod for our children. We never talked to them 15 times saying, it's going to get worse. If I have to speak to you one more time, you're not going to like it. And it's like, how many times have you just said that, mom or dad? This is my 15th time of saying it. What are they doing? They're still doing it. Do you think you need to get a little bit more closer to them? You know? But all of a sudden, we've had society say, oh, that's abuse. Oh, that's this. Oh, we can't do that. That's the enemy coming in. breaking a family apart, destroying civilization, and that's how it all started, and that's where it's at today. A lot of these people out there, they're walking and protesting because nobody says, no, that's wrong, and if you do it and do it again, you're going to get a spanking on your behind, not abused, not slapped and hit in the face. You're going to get corrected and sat down until you learn. We are now experiencing the byproduct of these parents back then that heard from some of these psychiatrists that said, and I've got people that I know, even in my own family, that, oh, no, that's not right. I go, it's not right. It is right. Trust me, it is right because God's word says that. Spare the rod, spoil the child. All these protesters anywhere in this nation, look in their face, they're nothing but spoiled people that never were told no, and no meant no. They were always be able to get what they wanted, when they wanted, and if they didn't get it, they would start crying and stomping their, I want my cookie, I want my toy. Instead of mommy and daddy doing something about it, they said, okay, I'm tired of listening here. I'm not the only one that's witnessed that. I look at that, and I can see in the spiritual, that was the enemy sowing that discord into our families, into these children, and now we're, God would say, you've gotten what you deserve. You've gotten what you deserve. But it's not a lost cause because we can pray it and change the tide. Don't you believe that? And that's what we've got to do in our times of praying against those things. Sometimes I feel sorry for them because these people, they don't really know, they don't even realize they're being manipulated by a power. By a power that they don't even know. They think it's them. It's my freedom. It's me doing this. It's me acting out. No, it's the evil one. It's the God of this world, the devil acting out in you. You are not your own. As we have been bought with a price, I am not my own. I'm a child of God. Well, before I became not my own and a child of God, God's word says, if I'm not serving him, I'm serving the who? Devil. We don't hear that. People don't understand that. They laugh at it because they don't understand the things of God's word, because the Bible and all this teaching and all these things have been taken out of our nation. And back in the days when schools were starting out in this nation, they used the Bible as a reading book and a history book, and they used that as literature in the schools. Now they don't know nothing about it. We're going to find now a society of people that will not even know anything about the history of this America, because there will be no statues left. If it offends somebody, tear it down. If I don't agree with it, tear it down. We have opened up a precedence that's like, if you don't like it, just let us know and we'll take it down for you. Okay, we want you to be happy. No, 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 no. We already know that if we don't realize what our history has come from, we will go back to what it was. That's what these people don't understand. There's tyranny out there. These groups that were taking over these people in these areas, in autonomous areas in Washington and Madison and Florida, I don't know, all over Nashville, all we want to take over this area. They were wanting to be their own little country with their own little rulers. They were still going to be ruled by someone. And then after people got into those groups, they didn't like who they were being ruled by because they were being, you know, extorted or whatever. Remember, wars happen a lot because of religion and land. Oh my goodness, Tim. So really, we're going to about wrap this up then. If I go back to that authority, I read that here as a definition in Mark. It says, authority is that like a power. One of the four power words, dunamis, is one of them. This word in the Greek means this: the authority or the right to act, the ability, the privilege, the capacity, the delegated authority. Jesus had this authority or this power to forgive sin, to heal sicknesses, to cast out devils. Also, this power or authority is the right to use dunamis, or that might that Jesus gave his followers, to preach, to teach, to heal, to deliver. And that authority has never been rescinded. Hallelujah. That power was not taken back from us. We are still under that power of what Jesus says to move in and to walk in. That's John 14:12. And we come to find at the end of this, talks about this power, and remember we're talking about this out of the 2 Timothy about authority, the power that's there. Powerless ministries become powerful upon discovering this power or authority that resides in the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. See, we look at it individually, and I can look out here and say, wow, small congregation, how powerful can we be? Tell you what, you get on prayer time and you get on your knees when you need to and you begin to pray, you will be the most powerful, dunamis powerful people that 1,000 or 10,000 congregation could not prevail against you because of the power and the prayer and what's in us as the authority. Remember when we talked about this, when it says that for the kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life. And as I wrap this up, we go back to a very familiar. We find that where we speak a lot of this in our nation, and before we always set out in prayer, as we always go to that verse in the Old Testament of 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, where it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. The God of yesterday is the God of today. What he said he was doing back then, he'll heal the land of today. So all of this that's going on, don't lose hope. Just get stronger in your faith. Pray more. Intercede more. Supplicate more. Give thanks more. But just continue to be in tune to God and pray for these situations. Amen. Amen. So as I close, I don't need to tell you that our land needs healing, healing in the worst way, but how did we get to where we're at today? Have we in the last several generations not done or followed what God's word has told us? If so, guess what? We will reap what we have not. You'll reap what you sow, and you will reap what you haven't sown. You know? Because it's reaped by somebody else. You've got to get it one way. This nation is in a mess, but it can be turned around. Can God heal this land? God can restore back what the devil has stolen from us. And what has been stolen? The peace, the tranquility, our nation, the things that we hold dear to our hearts. You know, we're not honoring and worshiping those statues or any of those things. You know, we're only honoring and worshiping that of Jesus Christ. But we look at those things, and many of them have scriptures and things and things that had taken place back in those days, but it's a part of our history. And I put down I prophesy today, but I don't know if I'm prophesying this, other than I prophesy this to the point of I know God hears our prayers. But I prophesy today that we will get back to that place. If the church does what we should have been doing all along, we will get back to that place of what God wants for us here. It's not over, but we need to give it our attention, not for some other time, but for today, and then not to lose track of that and say, oh, like Benjamin Franklin said, have we forgot what God provided during the battle of this great battle of bringing this nation as to join to become America from Great Britain? Have we forgot those prayers and what God did then? Let us not forget what God is doing today. Let us see that change in our nation. And begin to continually pray our nation. Pray for the leadership. Pray, pray, and pray. Amen? Can you do that? Have you been doing that? I think so. I think so. You're a good bunch of people. And I only know that because that's why you're here. We only allow only good people in here, okay? So...